Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So I think it's recording. Do you see the little recording thing on your side? Okay,
we're good.
Cool. We're good. Okay. Okay.
Hey, take another sip in there.
Quick sip in. Quick little sip in just to wet the whistle.
Take a schmel. Oh. Oh, that's lovely.
Okay. Lies, 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 and more fucking lies. The Snowcast has lied to the listeners. We said the last time we were chatting there, DJ, we said the next time you'll hear the two of us, we guarantee we'll be in a pub. And where are we now? On fucking Zoom again. Like, this is an absolute joke. Like, come off it. Now, we can't discredit ourselves too much. Like, we were in the pub earlier on today and we had one pint together, but it was not an appropriate time. And we'll talk about that there in a bit about our experience in the pub. But how are you getting on, kid?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm kind of taking it in my stride. Like, I was, the whole situation, like, I'm good with it. I think it's all out of our hands. I've kind of made my peace with the fact that the next, however long, like, I'm not putting a time frame on it in my head. Like, we spent months doing pint watch, like, chatting to each other about when we'll be in the pub again. And I'm very much now, like, you just have to take it on the chin and go about things. And it's done my mental mindset, my how I approach this whole thing, like, the world of good by just fucking having this mindset of, look, it's out of my hands. And I think I said it to you earlier today as well, like I said, and we talked about it, you know, a few times in the last couple of weeks, like, just appreciate what you get when you get it. Like, you know, if we get a chance in the next couple of weeks to have a pint, like, just appreciate it. And fuck it. As I said earlier, you know, what you wouldn't have given for a pint of draft, just one day of it in the middle of June and July, like, that's the key. And I think my mindset is I'm good. Like, you know, we don't it's just this mad fucking unknown. And I think once you make your peace with the fact that, like, you're not even living week to week, you're living day to day, and once you make your peace with that, I think it's a lot easier to be okay with it all, you know.
Absolutely. Like, you could definitely just get so bogged down in the whole situation of, like, oh, is it going to go to level whatever, like, level pints? That's what we want. We just want just to be drinking, like, you know, and having the chat and whatever. And I know if it means us that we have to go back to the Zoom for a bit, like, it's not too bad. Like, you know, we can still have the cans, still have the chats. And you obviously feel sorry for everyone who's going to be out of a job and stuff, and like, Jesus Christ, it break your heart, like some of the news stories and stuff around, but it is totally out of our control at the moment. Like, and it's even the way you hear kind of people giving about, like, out about kind of governments and giving out about like the Irish situation or the Northern Irish situation or the UK situation, but like, it's absolutely global at the moment. Like, it is, it's, you know, everyone is kind of locking down at the moment. It's not as if like, those bastards are locking us down again. Like, this is literally going all over the place. So yeah, no, I think you've the right mindset there, that just kind of roll with it, you know.
Yeah, but I suppose it's easy to say from, you know, sitting on a bench drinking a can, happy, on the Zoom, but I suppose for those publicans, the guys that we had on the podcast for the last call, the publicans that we go and see and stuff, like, it's their livelihood. So, like, you know, it is wicked serious as well, you know, like, it's like our livelihoods aren't.
No, you know, yeah.
So we have to acknowledge that. But at the same time too, like, you know, the best thing that anyone can do is kind of just fucking not let themselves get bogged down with it and you know, go for a walk and some fresh air while we can. And yeah, just fucking appreciate the cans, man. You know, there's a lot to be said for a good, decent can. It's not the same as the pint.
No.
But we are where we are, aren't we?
Yeah, no, we are. And sure, look, we'll hit our topic, or not our topic of our show, but our regular piece on the show of what he's drinking there tonight.
Yeah, so it's actually fairly late for us to record. We usually record a bit earlier in the evening than this. We both kind of came home from the old a long week's work and settled into a bit of dinner and watched a bit of telly before we came on. So I actually had a few cans earlier, and I have one highlight because I think you'd love it. It's an 8 Degrees from their Irish Munro series.
Oh, that's good. I had that last week. Yeah,
the Pilgrim's Pat, the Italian pills.
Yeah,
it top notch. Like a lovely fragrant pilsner, like really easy to drink, and a very kind of like piney smell off it. It was really nice. Like
fresh, isn't it? Like,
yeah, wicked. Like it reminds you of walking up an old pilgrim's path up a hill of a dewy morning. So it was lovely. I really enjoyed it. But what I'm drinking at the moment is Trouble Brewing, their Ambush Juicy Pale Ale, 5%. And yeah, like, it's funny. It's kind of coming, like, Jesus, it got wicked cold there this week. It's kind of, you know, obviously regular listeners will know my fondness for seasonal drinking, and it's real red or brown ale weather now. I think, like, you know, it's really into that kind of season, coming into the deep end. Like, stout and porter season is right upon us. So I'll be interested now to track what I'm reaching for over the next few weeks, but. I've got some Ace of Haze from Blackskin Sale in the fridge as well, and some Pirate's Bay by Yellow Belly. So, you know what, I'm stacked on nice, juicy, lovely pale ales for the night. But I've a sneaky suspicion I'll be reaching for a few brown and red ales over the next few weeks, and I'll be hitting stout season heavy, I'd say, in 3 or 4 weeks time.
Stop, it's coming in like a nice crisp even. Like, I was out there last night, not out, like, this is, that sounds like I'm out in the tear, like, but went for 2 pints after work yesterday in Walsh's and got like 2 lovely pints of Guinness in the kind of what would you call them? They're kind of like tankard glasses, but they're the old school Guinness glasses, like, yeah, the ones with the handle glasses.
The ones that you see on the red and white Guinness, yeah, tap lights, and the imagery from kind of 60s, 70s Guinness marketing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those glasses with the big long handle come from the top of the glass the whole way down to the bottom and out round.
Yeah. Nearly a jug kind of a thing, like, but so I had 2 pints in. Jesus, went down lovely. Like, it was outside, obviously had to be outside. 15 of us outside, but God, beautiful. Like, it was just that crisp weather outside as well. Like, you know, had to have the full jacket and everything on me, but God, the Guinness went down so well. But myself now, what am I drinking tonight? So I am on, at the moment, what's currently quenching these lips is the Metal Man Fracture, which is the rye IPA. And I tell you, it's quite nice now. It's a 6.5%. So I only have the little stubby can, and I'd say that's kind of all you'd kind of need for it, like, you know. But it has like, it's, you know, a nice kind of soft IPA, little bit of fruity kind of tones in it as well, like. But yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah, I got a growler of that off Tom in Phil Grimes there last week, and a very, very nice drink, like, and at 6.5%, it packs a nice punch as well, you know. It's one of those ones
where you don't taste the punch. You'd feel the punch, all right, but you wouldn't taste the punch.
It's funny. It's the kind of drink that, you know, you drink three of them, you'd feel like you're flying through them, and you get up to go for a piss then, and you'd have a stumble. It's one of them, all right, but it's a brilliant one. And yeah, really nice drink. Just on what are you drinking tonight? Have you had anything that's piqued your interest in the last kind of two, three weeks?
So actually, what piqued my interest, and it's just an old classic, but, and we will, I'll let you talk about it yourself a bit, is that Kinsale KPA? Was it KPA? No, IPA.
No, it's the Black IPA.
Black IPA, inside in Phillies there tonight. Like, oh my God. I was just like, this is luxurious, like, beautiful. Like, really, like, do you know, you're talking there about the stout and porter season coming in. Like, this is the gateway between them, I think.
Yeah,
like, it kind of has that coffee and chocolate kind of taste of the, like, that's kind of kicking into like the porters and stuff, but, you know, that's there in an IPA, like, Jesus Christ, beautiful.
What I get drinking Blacks Kinsale's Black IPA, not the KPA, because the KPA is very much like hops are front and center.
Yeah.
The Black IPA is like this beautifully balanced, well-rounded, you get the broad range of what you're tasting. Like, you come in with the malt and barley at the front, and then like the hops are there at the end, like, and it's like a subtle undertone. You've got a lovely, beautiful balance. It's not, you know, one doesn't overtake or overpower the other, you know. It's a beautifully balanced drink, and like you said, it's an omni-seasonal drink. You could fucking drink that.
That's a good term. I like that. Omni-seasonal.
I'm registering that as a trademark.
Hashtag omni-seasonal.
Yeah, patent that before we put out the episode.
Yeah.
But it is that fucking, like, you could drink that at any stage. You could drink that any time of the day, you know. Like, you could have that with your breakfast. It'd be fucking lovely, you know. It's one of them drinks. So I really fucking enjoy that. And again, it's something that it's funny, like, the one thing that stuck out for me from, say, February, when we were recording in pubs, to the whole way through to now, where we haven't recorded in a pub since, is that when you're recording in the pubs in the Southeast, you have your range of breweries that the Southeast pubs cater for. And then we had our virtual beer festivals. We had our you know, going to the Plinth, which we went to today to pick up a few drinks. Shout out to Decky in Worldwide Wines. And we had, and like, the, you know, the selection of beers that we get in our King stores as well, and other off licenses that just opens that, broadens your horizons drinks wise and brewery wise. But what's funny is, whatever about the summer, I've had very little Blacks Kinsale. Like, Ace of Haze was such a banger and front and center that Ace of Haze was the drink that was in the virtual beer festival from Black. So I actually haven't had a Black IPA or a KPA probably this year until today, like, you know. So it was just a beautiful little treat, a beautiful little delight, a delightful kind of surprise, and it just brought me back to it invoked some fucking good fond memories of drinking Black's Black IPA in Jeff's Bar in Waterford, in City Young's in Cork, drinking it in Henry Downs's. Just some good fucking story. I just had like some really good vivid memories of enjoying that with different people over the last couple of years, and it was like there was a nostalgia factor there, and it was kind of this surreal experience of sitting in a beer garden without access to the bar, with Tom just passing in and out, and you know, sitting socially distanced from each other, you know, a couple of people at other tables. It was this
let's zoom into this today's experience, right? So just to give a bit of background, two of us, we finished work, we only had one thing on our mind, just getting that last just to quench that quivering lip that we had on us. So headed into Phil Grimes, and actually so both parked outside Phil Grimes, and take it from there. What was your experience like from then?
I can't remember last time I queued outside the pub to get in.
Exactly.
That was it. Like for it to open, and there was what, like the capacity is 15. Like there was enough people there to fill the capacity straight away, and like, you know, you came in, you signed in with your name and number for the contact trace, and everything done above the board as Tom would do, like perfectly. And like led out to the beer garden, choose your seat, sit down. In fairness, you had the stove in the beer garden lit, as comfortable as possible.
Really nicely decorated as well, I thought. Like,
yeah, like he moved that big long table that was in the middle, and it was well spaced out.
A few little Halloween trinkets around. Like there was like just these kind of cool little touches like just around the place. Like quite liked it.
Yeah, we were sitting at a large barrel that had like a little a shut off tap on one end, and Phil Grimes pub was on it, and we were like sat in a high stool. It was lovely, and it was
I had a bit of trouble to get on the high stool.
Yeah, you were rusty. Yeah. And then like there was this awkward kind of few minutes where you're waiting to be served. And it's like, because everyone came in at once. Obviously, Tom could only do one table at a time going around. So there was this anticipatory kind of...
It actually was, kind of like, you know, when you go into mass, first of all, right? And like, there's a bit of chatting around, right? And then at about like, say it's 12 o'clock mass. So then at about like 1 minute to 12, everyone starts hushing down, even though like there's been no signal that the priest or anyone is coming out yet. Like it's that thing where, there was this weird kind of silence came on for like just a second, where there was this kind of like there was this kind of silence that kind of came on there a second. And it was kind of like, wait, am I allowed to talk? And then you're like, wait, of course I'm allowed to talk. I'm coming out for a pint, like, you know,
yeah.
But it was just this, I think it was that. And that anticipatory feeling that you were talking about there of like, when's the pint coming? When do I get to order? What can I order? You know, because you're like, you know, our normal experience in Phil Grimes is going up, waiting, having a look, you know, actually taking probably about too long to look around all the taps than we normally do, being like, oh, what do I have here? Oh, what's new here? Oh, look at the color of that like label on the tap there, like, you know, and really like analyzing everything. Whereas like this time it was kind of like, right, what do they have, and what can we get, like, you know?
Yeah, but I think as well, part of that apprehension, for want of a better phrase, was just not knowing what was going to happen, in a sense of not like thinking you were going to be attacked by a wild bear or something, but just like, or by a wild beer, but
wild bear.
Yeah, just getting fucking kung fu chopped by a Kirinichi man. But it was just that kind of like, this is a new experience for me. I've never this like there's I'm in familiar surroundings but in an unfamiliar situation. And I think it's that thing that we had said previous to the pubs reopening, which was, you know, it will be different when we go back and we need to remember that. And I think I forgot that when I stepped in first. I forgot that it was going to be different. and very different because you're exclusively outside and it's getting cold and like you have no other choice but to be outside. But even as well, like, you know, the one or two lads that, you know, when we would go in, would be on the high stool at the other end of the bar, so you'd kind of be chatting to them from afar. There was still that bit of chat from afar, but it was this strange chat because it's like, am I even supposed to be talking to someone at a different table? And
yeah.
And then there's a guy in the table behind commenting on it, and it's like we all want to have this inclusive community, like.
Mm.
Conversation, which is what we've always harped on about, as the pub being a central hub of chat where the community comes together to have an inclusive chat. And that inclusive chat was just not natural. It wasn't naturally flowing. And it was like, then, you know, it's very easy at a high stool to just kind of just turn the shoulder over, go back to your own conversation. Whereas like you're sitting in this open kind of setting, it's very hard to kind of shut off then someone from the conversation. And it wasn't a bad experience, and it was to no fault of Tom or the establishment.
Oh, definitely not. No,
it was just purely situational unfamiliarity. Now I will say this, right, the one thing that I took away from it was how sorry I feel for publicans turning people away, because, you know, there's 13 people in there and then 3 people come to have a pint. So do you jib your mate and 2 of you go in, or like,
yeah,
no, sorry, 3 of you can't come in. When those 3 people could come in and socially distance and not impact on anyone else there, where that third person wasn't going to make a significant difference there. Also, you know, the business side of things, where Tom doesn't know if week to week whether the pub is going to stay open or close, and he doesn't know, therefore he needs to be smart with how much money he invests in stock. And then, you know, we asked for, what do you like on draft, like, do you have Kirinichiban or what do you have in? And he only had the macro breweries in on tap because he had used up his craft stock and didn't want to invest a couple of thousand euro in stock, not knowing the future of his business for the next couple of weeks, which is very fair. And the thing was, like, we fully understand that, and I think everyone would understand that. But you could visibly see that Tom was embarrassed and you know, annoyed that he wasn't able to give us the same experience. And it's impacting them because I think it's impacting on publicans because they feel like they're giving a subpar experience to us. And it is a different experience, and it's not what we're used to, but it's to no fault of them. And I think we all need to be cognizant of that when we're going to a bar. When you're going to a bar and they're only taking bookings and they're booked out, or you're going to a bar and they have the 15 in already, we just need to be cognizant of the fact that it's not the bartender or the publican's fault that that's what it is. And we should be respecting the fact that they are sticking to whatever rules they've put in place for themselves to put anyone who goes through their doors, make them as safe as possible, and facilitate them enjoying a drink out as best as they can.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that I've been stung as well in the past week with, the past 2 weeks, including the time that, time last week where we went for a pint in Tom Mars and went to, where else we go? We went to Philly, sorry. That was, yeah, as well. Was that 2 weeks ago or a week ago?
So that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. But anyway, this was at a point when it was level 2 restrictions and that we were allowed going to a pub. But we ended up just going, oh, we'll head into town and we'll just get a pint after work. And we had a booking for dinner, all right. And then we said we were going to go into Phil Grimes afterwards. But between finishing work and having our dinner reservation, we were like, we'll go for a pint initially. And like, we went into Tully's in Waterford and they were we were like, what was it, Friday? Was it a Friday or a Thursday or what was it?
It was a Friday, yeah.
Friday.
We finished work on Friday, but I didn't have to work on Friday.
So yeah, fair enough. Friday after work, and like it was fully booked up. And like I think it is, as you say, like, you know, it's a learning experience for all of us as to like what your night out is going to be and how you're going to have to plan your night, right? So say with the likes of Tully's, they're doing a bookings only system. And then for the likes of, so then yesterday I got stung with Tully's again. Not stung, that's a bad phrase, because they're doing what's best for their business, and it's, you know, that's actually filling them up. Like, so I went into Tully's and they were full up, so I couldn't get in there. And then there was T&H Doolin's in Waterford and J&K Walsh's, and they're under joint ownership, I think, anyway. And they had a first come, first served service. So it was only whatever table came free that you got. So I kind of ended up hovering around there, like, you know. But, you know, it's one of those things now whereby, like, I've learned that, you know, if I want to be guaranteed a spot, I can book Tully's. Or if I want to try and chance an after work thing, I can go to these, like to J&K Walsh's or to T&H Doolin's, you know? So I think it is this kind of thing of like adapting how you're approaching your drinking, and that like now pubs are being kind of a bit divided in how they're operating, and that you kind of have to learn these rules a bit more about them, which is fair enough, I think. Like, you know, it's just, it just will cause a bit of hardship in the initial stages, but I think you will grow to learn how it's going on. Like, I mean, same with like, you know, Tom's there today, like, you know, like we learned quite like, we were lucky today, but like we learned that like, if you're not there, if you want to drink at 5:30, you'd want to be there at opening at 5:00, like, or else you're not getting a spot, like, you know?
Yeah.
That's
exactly right, yeah.
But yeah, no, like I, like for me, I suppose going into Phil Grimes pub there today, it was a lovely, like even though we were queuing outside, there was a lovely welcoming experience. Like there was a Tom, like as he opened the gates to let us all in, he's like, oh, I wasn't expecting this. This is, you know, actually very happy to see such a crowd outside. And then brought in, and it was actually quite nice, I thought, like having this kind of like being guided to the table by like the front of house, like, you know, which was now the barman, and, you know, getting the rounds done. But yeah, you could see, like, you know, like for Tom or for any publican operating, like now operating as kind of like a front of house, means that you are taking people in, you're doing the contact tracing, you're seating them, ensuring that people stay seated, are masked when they come into the premises, that you're keeping an account on the amount of people that are in the premises in the outside area at all times, and ensuring that stays. And then you're trying to serve the drinks to people. What happened with us is that you could see that a few of the places around, people had come in at 5:00 and they come in and sat down at a table. And obviously all the tables, like there's not a table for one in there, there's tables for like 2 and 3. So a person who came in on their own for one sat down at the table on their own. And then when it was coming around to the orders, they were like, oh, you know, I'll have a pint. And then, you know, sure, Jimmy's coming in there in 30 minutes. And it's that thing of, well, Jimmy can't come in. Like there's already 15 people in here. Unless somebody leaves, like Jimmy can't come in. So like you can order a pint, I suppose, but you'd have to drink it yourself unless like somebody leaves to come, let Jimmy in, you know? So it's a very awkward system, isn't it? Like, you know, but yeah, it's something that we'll just all have to get used to. And look, as we said at the start of the show, it's something just taking your stride, I suppose, and just learn from it. Definitely, I think, like, I'm just gonna have to be way more organized about what I'm doing, about things, like, you know, as in, like, it, like if I want to go out on a night out, and I know, like, I know there's pubs that I have to go a booking process for, or, you know, definitely if you want to be out all night long, there's, you're probably going to have to book everywhere, really, like, you know. Whereas, like, if
you're going to have,
yeah, go on, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, like, otherwise you're going to have a plan B, C, and D, like.
Yeah, and you're going to be pounding the pavements, like, you're going to be, like, even yesterday, which was a Thursday, like, at 4:30 after work, like, I was hovering between two outdoor seating places of pubs in order to wait for someone to leave and then pounce on that place then, like, you know, and that's at 4:30 on a Thursday, like, so, yeah, like, I think definitely, like, the booking system probably, like, is probably the way to go, but, like, it just, like, it's definitely probably the way to go for the publicans to ensure that they have people, but then at the same time, like, you know, someone books a spot and doesn't show up, what do you do then? Like, you're losing out, like, that's a hell of a chunk of your business, like, you know, it's nearly 10%, yeah. You know?
I'd have a zero fucking lateness policy there. Like, if your booking is 5:30 and you show up at 32 minutes past, sorry, your fucking place is gone.
Yeah, yeah. That's true, yeah.
But I suppose this kind of thing of, you know, looking at that and even talking with publicans about being open with 15 people and the financial viability of being open with 15 people. We had a good discussion today that got a good few laughs out of us messing and joking about him with it. But again, it was this is something that I really miss, and it's something that Zoom hands has not fulfilled for me properly, is this gowling and messing and joking and coming up with stupid ideas in person. It's so much better. Because you get to see the body language of the people that you're interacting with properly. And like, you know, I don't know, there's something about a hearty laugh in person that's way better than a hearty laugh over media. But we were chatting about, like, you know, the financial viability of it and what can we do to support the fucking pubs? And like, realistically, there's fuck all that we can do, but
yeah,
talk about how good they are and hope that they'd stay open and people will go and support them when they are open again and stuff and not go to a fucking Wetherspoons. But I brought up something that I was saying I had seen on social media in regards to the coffee, where, you know, someone would buy a coffee and then pay for two so that it was a hanging coffee. So if a homeless person or someone who was kind of stuck for cash or was a bit cash strapped could just pop their head in the door and say, are there any hanging coffees around? And the barista could make them a coffee then that has already been paid for by someone else who has the means to pay for two coffees. And I was saying to you, like, we should try and see if hanging pints could become a thing where, like, you know, obviously there's like 350,000 people out of work at the moment who weren't in February or so. I think that's the figure, like, you know, times are tough for an awful lot of people. So I was wondering, as things progress and if we are able to go for a pint and the pubs do open up back properly over the coming months, wouldn't it be brilliant to be able to say to, you know, a publican when you're buying around, say if myself, yourself and Tommy, for example, were in Phil Grimes or Ollie Sharp, and we were buying 3 pints, to say, Tom, take for 4 and throw a hanging pint on that. And if Tom then had, say, 10 hanging pints built up, that by the end of that night, if someone who had been laid off because of the pandemic or was out of work or something like that wanted to go for a pint, they could have a hanging pint. And if not, then Tom could, you know, just at the end of the night, say whatever's left over from the hanging pint goes towards paying the bills or catching up on the loans that these businesses are going to have to get to stay open and stuff, you know. It was just a kind of stupid messing idea. And
there was an awful lot of messing going on, like, you know, and I had a great time inside, like, so. It might have sounded like we're talking about negatives or anything there, but it was actually, I had a great time now for our 1 pint inside in Phil Grimes there today. Like, I actually had a
great laugh and stuff in there. But it's sometimes from this bit of messing that a pure bit of like genius comes out, like, yeah. And you know, it was actually the kind of thing where we're like, you know, like the initial idea came out and we started honing it down there. And I think that it, like what you're saying there, because it kind of stemmed from, I was kind of saying, oh, you know, would we release a campaign for, you know, for those who can afford it, to, you know, give a tenner a pint. That's, you know, that's like a tenner a pint campaign, like, you know, and would we release that? But actually, like, the more I thought about it, I think that the more that, that your idea of the hanging pints could be a good one, because like, you know, you're like, you have people that just might contribute like another pint to a round. So it's not, you're not even charging, you're not even having to go a tenner or a pint. Like, you might just buy, if you're buying a round of four, you might buy a round of five or whatever. And then that goes into this hanging pint. And then, as you say, at 11:30 or whatever time, closing time is, like, whatever hanging pint balance is left, that just goes into the pub kitty. And that's almost like a tip for the night, really, for the pub, like, you know, that, like, yes, if anybody who is, who has been laid off, or anybody who, you know, who, you know, is deserving of this hanging pint comes in and requests it, then yeah, of course they can have it, and that's perfect, like. But it is a bit of money just actually just, like, you know, give that extra bit of a boost to the pub, like. And I actually thought it was a pretty good idea, like, maybe our listeners can
I suppose it's kind of like anything, you know, like, obviously it's clearly easy to manipulate that, and, like, you know, we were mentioning, yeah, saying that, like, you know, we come in and be joking, like, to the women, say to the wife, like, you know, oh, look, I bought two pints, but there were two hanging pints there that I drank by accident.
Well, we were joking earlier on that you'd come in, you'd buy two pints for yourself and then two hanging pints, and then I'd buy two pints and two hanging pints, and then we both just claim each other's hanging pints then.
Like, but I think the thing there is, like, you know, if you look at, like, the majority of, say, rural pubs as well, or smaller pubs, and community-based pubs like Phil Grimes, where, you know, the regular clientele, Tom would know. So if someone wanted, if say, for example, one of the regulars was let go from their job and was out of a job for a while, and like, part of their, you know, way to unwind or check out from a mental health perspective was to go for two or three pints of a Friday evening or a Saturday evening, that if they didn't have the means to do that, would they end up, like, say, drinking at home alone, and there'd be a lack of a social aspect of their lives then? Whereas if there were a couple of hanging pints around, you know, they would still have the means. You could even do it in a way that, like, you know, there's a way of communicating that you need, you want a few hanging pints that night without having the social stigma attached to it. Oh, he, you know, they can't afford a pint, look at them, or, you know, this kind of nonsense that can happen sometimes in Irish society too. Like, would there be a way of, like, you know, if you need the hanging pint and the barman knows you and knows you're out of work, you go to tap the card machine, but you tap the opposite end. So, you know, you have the optics of paying for the drink, or, you know, is there, you know, could those things be ironed out?
Yeah.
Like, you know, basically, like, a pub puts up a sign, like, if you want a hanging pint, do XYZ. That might be a bit more subtle as well, because we have this sort of, like, shame culture sometimes in Ireland about charity. But I've come up with a second scheme there while you were talking that will work in 31 counties in Ireland. That could also be a bit of charity towards the pubs. What if, when you're ordering your pint, when the pubs open back up again, or if you're going in for your outdoor pint at the moment. So say if I went into Phil Grimes tomorrow and I ordered a pint off Tom and he brought it out, and he said that'll be, say, for example, $4.50 for the pint. And I said, no bother, Tom, I'll pay Dublin prices. So in Waterford, you're like, yeah, I'll have a Dublin pint there, please, Tom.
So at Dublin prices,
pint, Yeah, it's the same pint, but you pay €7.
Yeah.
So, or like, could I have a Temple Bar Guinness there, please, Tom? You know, like, just that could be another way of like, you know, taking the piss a bit, but giving a bit.
No, I think there'd be some like terrible memories of mine that are just like erupt in my head, like as I was ordering, of like just being absolutely scalded on a night out from Temple Bar.
The flip side then, like, you know, could a pub in Dublin then, like, could you go into a pub in Dublin and say, I'll have a water for Guinness, please, and get a pint of Guinness for €4.50?
That's dicey.
In Dublin.
That's just dicey's on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Their student prices are, like, expensive prices in the rest of the country.
Yeah. But, yeah,
that's no. That's something that's disappeared from Irish vernacular for the last 6-7 months is the argument over the price of a pint.
Yeah, no, totally has. Yeah. I actually nearly felt a little like guilty when I was going back today. And I was just like, you know, like what? Like our pints were €5.50 or whatever. And you're like, God, what a bargain. Like, what a bargain. This is an absolute. Like I nearly felt like I was robbing them, like, you know, because like obviously like what you're doing there is you're just like multiplying my like the fiver out by 15 people, and you're like, this isn't much at all, like, you know, for
like what's that like if you're open from 5 to 11, it's what, 6 hours, and if say someone drinks even 2 pints an hour, which wouldn't be bad,
yeah,
you know, it's 10 or a person, 150 an hour. By 6 hours, £900 turnover for a day.
Yeah.
And that's only the weekends, like the 2-3 weekend evenings. Like, you know, for a lot of pubs, that just isn't a sustainable business model. No, so,
yeah, that's just turnover. It's like and, profit.
And like, you know, it's like, you know, some pubs, the buildings will be owned by the owner and the publican will be the owner. Whereas other pubs, the buildings won't be owned by them and they'll be employing people, you know, as well. Mm. So they're cost of a lot more overhead, so it's a bit mad, and I feel so fucking, and it's this thing, do you know, the support not sympathy campaign, so they don't want our sympathy, like they don't, and I feel even bad giving them sympathy, but it's just that kind of fucking, like, I do feel I can't help but give them sympathy, and the thing that's annoying me the most about our experience today is actually the fact that we went to Phil Grimes for a couple of pints 2 weeks ago, like you said, and we went inside and I felt safer the way it was laid out and done and the setup that was in there. I felt safer in there than I felt going to any supermarket in the last 6 months. And that's like, I'm not saying that because I fucking have fierce affection for Tom and Phil Grimes as an establishment. Like, that's me objectively saying that as someone who is concerned about the evolving nature of the pandemic and crisis, that genuinely, if I was asked to go in there for a pint tonight in the same situation I was in 2 weeks ago, despite the levels of COVID at the moment, I would feel comfortable in there because it was done very, very well.
And,
you know, like I said, like, we work together closely, so we're in the same little bubble together. And I know that, you know, these things of social bubbles have been spoken about on the media in the last couple of days as a kind of kickback against this, you can't have any visitors in your house. But for me, like, the last couple of months, I have had like a tiny social bubble of 6-7 people, including like my wife, my granduncle, grandmother, and my uncle. And then you, in because I work and socialize with you, it's this kind of thing of like, you know, when you have a small group of people and say we're in each other's social bubble, we go for a pint together, like, is the risk any greater to either of us if the pub is done right versus, you know, us being in work together, which we have to do?
Yeah.
You know,
it is that thing of like, all right, if you do want to reduce contacts down, then yes, limit the table to a table of four or whatever, like, you know, for, you know, if obviously if it's a family of fucking 5 or 6 from the one household, then leave them off, like, but do you know what I mean? Like, if it's, you know, if you're saying there's 4 or 5 different people or whatever, then yes, okay, like split them up. Like, there just doesn't seem.
Yeah.
I don't want to complain because fucking you can be complaining till the cows come home, like, you know. But even we were saying earlier on there today about like the size of smoking areas or the size of outdoor areas and like how it's obviously like 15 is just a blanket number. And like you could have a place that was like half the size of Philly's or double the size of Philly's, and it's like still the same amount of people. So you could have like people absolutely crammed into it, or like even Philly's there today, there was like the whole far end of it was completely unoccupied, like, you know, and like we were still like 2, 3, 4 meters apart, like in the smoking area. And then
you could have, and it's well ventilated.
Yeah, and then you could have a place, and that's like there's places in Dublin and probably every place everywhere like that have huge, big like garden areas that are like fully covered with canopies and stuff. And you could just 15 again, like, you know. So I don't know. I think we spouted at the very, very start of this that it would be like, you know, there is kind of indications for. What, 10 per, or was it 4 per 10 meter squared or 10 per 4 meter square or something? Like, you know, there was like an actual guidance on X number of people per thing. And like, that's actually the same in shops, actually. The way in shops they have, you know, some shops they have outside the doors, they have like maximum occupancy of this shop is 8 people or 32 people, like depending on the size of the shop, like, you know, whereas like, nah, just 15 per the pubs. Yeah. Like, it just, you know, it doesn't reflect the size of your pub, like, which is actually probably like reflective of the rent and all that kind of crack as well of the pub, like, you know.
And I just want to comment on one thing as well from a couple of weeks ago. Like, what was my big major concern about pubs reopening throughout this pandemic? It was the toilets. How will the toilets work? Like, how are you going to enforce social distancing in the toilets, etc. And what was really reassuring for me is what I completely did fail to take into account. And I think this is actually a reason why, when you look at the pandemic numbers and stuff, Waterford has been doing so well, is because Waterford people have an awful lot of common sense compared to other parts of the country, in my experience. Going to the toilet in Philgrimes a couple of weeks ago when it was open was max 2 people in the men's. And I was kind of like, what happens when there's 2 in there? I never failed to think to account that someone would see 2 people in there and just decide to not go in and wait.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. It was just as simple as that. And I think that part of it was because I think everybody in there would know that, you know, if Tom saw you messing or breaking the guidelines, he'd say, right, you're done, get out. But it was just this thing as well of like, there's only 2 people allowed in there and there's 2 people in there. So I will wait out here with my mask on and let them leave. Let someone leave before I go in. And it was as simple as that. And I think, without the whole pandemic, we had this, again, you have this preconceived notion of, you remember, you're thinking of times where you've been absolutely scuttered and you're, you know, going into a urinal and there's a fella nearly breathing on your neck waiting to go after you. You know, this kind of, these things run through your head, but you fail to just think that in extenuating circumstances, in order for a place to stay open, people will just do what they need to do.
Yeah.
And do it right. And that's what was happening in Philgrimes that night, for example. Now, obviously, part of the reason that pubs are being picked on at the moment are being singled out or not being trusted is because, you know, we've seen social media videos of the odd place that hasn't done things right. And that's the infuriating bit, is that those places exist. And yeah, or the pubs we love are suffering because that reputation is out there. Then, you know, people are talking about, sure, look at what went on in X, Y, or Z. And it's unfair. It's tarnishing all the pubs with the same brush, which is not right.
Right. Look, we've maybe touted a few bit of negatives, but let's end this on a positive. What would you like to see? What would you hope to see in the next while? Pub boys.
Look, I said it in earlier episodes over the last couple of months, I'd like to see much quicker shutting down of pubs who are blatantly, flagrantly breaking the guidelines. Like I drove past the pub that I won't name in Waterford earlier on in the week, and I saw someone open the door and a load of lads sitting at the bar with no masks on, not socially distant, slugging pints, clearly over capacity. And you're kind of you see that, like, I'm stopped at traffic light looking at this, thinking, how the fuck? And I passed it again yesterday, and I saw, you know, two guards walk in the door. And it was still open, and it was still open today. And I can't fathom why it is. And I think if it would only take a couple of rogue pubs to be shut down for everywhere else to straighten up. Now, you asked for a positive, and here's my positive. I think that, what do I want for the pubs? I want better leadership from the lobby groups for the pubs, the LVI and the LVA and the VFI. Because they've been calling on, like, you know, off license hours to be restricted, which is stupid, because you'll just drive people off license. More people will have to go to off licenses in shorter hours. So you're driving more people to one place. That's not the way to go. Also, you're actually just screwing over breweries who you depend on for your produce, and you're actually just fucking not doing them a favor. So what do I want from pubs? I want pubs to be able, if possible, to be open. If it's the right thing to do. And I want the good pubs to be given a chance to show that they are not going to be responsible for clusters. And I want faster enforcement of shutting down pubs that are breaking, that are clearly flaunting the guidelines and putting people at risk. Because they're not just putting people's heads at risk, they're putting pubs, other pubs' businesses at risk, etc. So that's what I want for the pubs. I want a good, decent, I want them to have as fair a crack of the whip as other sectors of society are having, because I think they earned it. I think they've shown over the last 2 months that they can do it and do it right when they're given the opportunity to.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, I suppose from my perspective, I want the pubs to get the support that Tom is getting today. I want people to go in. I want people to go in early. I want people to go in at, like, organized. I want to, you know, like, and I was as much a fault as anyone else there the last few times I've gone out, like, but, like, I want to be probably part of the evolution of booking my slot in the pub and stuff like that, and just you know, I suppose just tone the line with what the pubs want me to do as well. I probably want the pubs as well maybe to talk to each other, because, and there does seem to be a good bit of it going on Twitter and stuff like that, but this is a hugely tumultuous time, a huge time of change for the pubs. And they're all, like, there's guidelines out there, but, like, it's very, like, you're adapting those guidelines to your pub outlay, how you operate, your hours, blah blah blah, your stock, everything, like, you know. So I'd like pubs to talk to each other and say, what's going right, what's going wrong, what's your experience, is there any ideas, like, because we're coming on here and we're going, this might be good, but some of the shite we might be saying might be good, but some of them might be wrong because of X, Y, and Z, and it mightn't be applicable to every pub. But then there could be another idea that a pub that is very similar to another pub from another part of the country, you might go, Jesus, that's a very good idea. That'd be brilliant. I should use that now. That's maybe how I should operate my booking system, whether it be via text or Facebook or whatever the fuck, like. So, yeah, I think I kind of want a bit more, not that I want, but it'd be nice if pubs communicated a bit more together and had this bit of a community feel, and they have been doing it. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
What I really, really want, what I really, really want.
Yeah.
Not just the Ziga Ziga, I want people to ask the publican how they are, like, not just say, how are things with the business? How's pandemic affecting the pub? Like, just check in with them and say, are you okay? Like fucking,
yeah.
Just make sure that the publican's okay, because it's not a fucking easy time for them. it's not an easy time. And what I thought was great there was just 2 minutes today where Tom came over to us with a cup of tea and just stood back from the table with his mask on just to have a chat. It was a 2 minute chat, but I think just to check in with each other and make sure that everyone's doing okay, because it's not an easy time. And the one positive that we can take out of this is that we can support each other that way as well. You know what I mean? That'd be fucking great, because, you know, obviously there's limits to how much we can financially support each other and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Speaking of financial support, you can financially support the Snugcast on patreon.com/thesnugcast. We had a technical hiccup there with our last podcast where it didn't distribute, and that is because we have switched over our distribution to Acast. So maybe now, because I forgot to do it earlier on in the podcast, but maybe now I might pause, because you may or may not hear an advert that is talking shite about products or services to you.
And this is not a drill. It won't be my brother talking about made up sandwiches.
No, this is this you may or may not hear an advert coming into your ear holes. So yeah, here's the ads. And we're back, I suppose. I suppose I'll insert an ad there. I don't really know how this works, but yeah, no, it was a good chat tonight though, DJ. I really enjoyed podcast tonight. It was upsetting as I started off the podcast with us telling lies to our listeners of being absolute charlatans.
Yeah,
I think the podcast world.
I think one thing that I suppose is worth pointing out to that before we finish up is, like, we did go to the pub twice in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And the thing was, it was our first time inside a pub and our first time after going since they've had to shut the inside part again. And we wanted to record both times, but it was just a kind of like, let's just appreciate the hour that we have here.
A bit of like behind the scenes things, but oftentimes when we're recording, we do get a snug or a quieter corner of the pub, and one that's so that the audio isn't affected too much by like people like chatting around us too much, but more so it's so that we're not affecting people's chats either. That we're like, you know, because there is a bit of like boisterousness about the chats where we're kind of going, hey, how are you, welcome to the Snugcast, blah blah blah, and that can, I suppose, just kind of detract away from other people's conversations a bit as well, like, you know. So just with the way the restrictions are now, it seems that the pubs are trying to keep the 2 meter rule between people, but in order to fit as many people into the pub as possible, they're keeping the two meters exactly. So you can't really get a cozy corner as much anymore. But we'll hunt. We'll keep the hunt going for. I'd say we could get one if the pubs, if the indoor pub reopens again, we definitely will find one, and we will do one inside in the pub. But I don't think I'll make as bold a statement again that the next podcast will be hosted inside a pub.
I was laughing because I wrote down before we came on, I was like, we might be looking at Christmas Eve before we record a pint in a podcast in a pub again. So look, we don't know, but like,
please don't say that.
No, we'll do our best to get one out from a pub. And we'll have a couple of publicans on as well, probably over Zoom, over the next while as well. And I suppose the other thing as well is, like you said, we were making the switch to Acast, and over the last couple of weeks we've just been trying to find our feet again and figure out, I suppose, it's like, what's the direction of the podcast for the next few weeks or few months, and similar to the pubs, we don't really know. So I'm delighted to be putting content out, delighted to be drinking cans from top-notch breweries. Would love to be drinking pints from these top-notch breweries and top-notch pubs. But look, like that's the positive message. Like, we'll be grateful for what we have this week, which are some good cans and a nice pint earlier in a beer garden. And like, that's probably, that could possibly be it for the next few weeks. But main thing is that everyone stays safe and we fucking support the independent craft beer industry and support the local pub.
Yeah, yeah. My closing remarks are along those lines. Níl aon bin bán mar a bin bán féin.
I presume you've opened your can of bin bán, no?
I 100% have. Ballykilcavan's finest.
Oh, stop.
Any closing remarks for the fans? Mind yourself.
Yeah, can of mís le chéile.
I love it. Right.
Good luck.
Good luck. Good night.
God bless. Oh, I got a fucking hamstring cramp there 2 minutes ago. I stretched this bastard out.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.